You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Yes, another Cooligans Women's World Cup Daily.
Let's go.
I'm Jordan Angeli, and my voice is real deep now.
Okay. All right. I got a little work done. All right. Don't comment on it because you're going to make me self-conscious.
Right. This is how I sound now, yo.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans Women's World Cup Daily. We are here. We are back. We are here every single day, regardless if you like it or not. All right.
That's right, baby.
Because I'll be honest. Some of these comments on some of our videos have been wild, crazy. The misogyny is crazy, dog.
Yo, you know how it is. We put up a video highlighting some exceptional women's talent, and a bunch of incels are like, "Nah, we can't have this."
What's all this about? What you mean? Every day I gotta hear about women thriving? Nah, bro.
Oh, never, bro. This is why I don't call my mom, dude.
Okay, what's good, everybody? We're excited to be back. Obviously, we are, you know, exhausted watching these games in the middle of the night. All right, we're doing it.
My sleep pattern is a screwy. I'll tell you, even my phone's having a bad one, bro. This morning I woke up to try to watch some of the game, and I tapped the screen to see what time it is, and then it showed me the time, and then it went black. And I said, "What happened?" And then I plugged it in, and it gave me the little battery with the red.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, this thing just has 65%. It's not 12 degrees in my apartment, bro. Get my soul. Even my phone's like, I'm going to sleep, dog. Don't wake me up.
We're doing this for you, Alexis.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you do what I'm doing? Take a little nap right now. Plug in, recharge, Alexis.
But no, we had two matches this morning. Obviously, we're watching from the Eastern time zone, 1 a.m. for Switzerland, Spain, and 4 a.m. for Japan, Norway. And let's start with Switzerland and Spain. Just give our thoughts on this game because, I don't know if some people, if you follow us on Instagram, I was like, oh, yo, let me do a little IG story watch along, kind of, you know, just as I'm in on the couch, because obviously I have a 4-month-old at home. Wife is sleeping, everybody's sleeping. Let's just see what that's like. And I'm watching this game, and then should I have slept for this game? Because Switzerland definitely took a nap.
Switzerland was like, "Why you up, dog? We going to bed, bro."
Okay, we trying to head back home. Yo, Australia's far as hell, bro.
Bro, I miss my dog, dude. What you doing up right now, bro?
No, man. Look, we saw what Japan did to Spain. And Spain, they needed that. They needed to take that anger out on somebody, and they used Switzerland, bro. Okay, to build their confidence and dominate.
They were having such a good time dominating. They even scored on themselves. They said, "Let's spice this up a little bit.
we're gonna give you one just so the record books don't. It doesn't look that devastating."
Right. We don't want you to go home that sad. You feel me? So, well, here's one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and that was quite a moment, a pretty embarrassing own goal from, I think it was the center back, Codina, who ended up scoring a goal. So cancel it out. All good.
Yeah, so she did nothing. Good, you're good.
Nothing happened.
It was actually also, the home goal was like a beautiful shot. It really was.
I think the center back, what is it, Codina?
Codina, yes.
She, I think they said this on the broadcast that she hadn't played. I think that was the first game that she played. So this was early in the game. Obviously, this was what, the 11th minute.
Oh, jeez.
And it was one of those. She just assumed there was like three players around her that were about to like, you know, crash in on the ball. And she was like, "No, I gotta get this back to my keeper." Expeditiously,
right? And quickly, just keep this thing off my foot. Why don't you put it in that netted satchel you have over there? Oh no, that's the goal.
and panicked for no real reason because there was no one really around her. It just kind of made no sense. But I think it was a good I think moment for Spain to show like, all right, just like let's forget about this. You saw the teammates kind of lifting her up and just being like, yo, forget about this. And It was very easy to forget because they scored just moments later.
I bet you Bonmati looked at her and said, yo, don't worry. I'm about to run game on these fools, bro. Yo, Bonmati absolutely balled out.
She looked great.
Look, and we keep talking about this, but when you and I saw the Futures game in, what was that, 2018, I said, yo, these Barca girls, bro, are they all somehow related to Iniesta and Xavi? Because
they are literally getting
balling.
Just 1v1 one-on-one coaching sessions from Spanish legends because they play exactly like them. And
bro, it's as if they were allowed to train with the first team in that era. Yeah. It was absolutely crazy. And then you look at someone like, I don't want to mispronounce her first name, Aitana. I don't know if there's an accent there. Mm-hmm. Aitana Bonmati. Absolutely incredible. 25 years old, plays for Barca. And, yo, you're just seeing someone with a killer vision, bro. She knows when to strike, when to pass.
I think the wild thing was how much time pretty much every Spanish player had in the box with the ball. Like, no one wanted to make a challenge. No one wanted to foul. There was just such a reluctance, I think, defensively from Switzerland, where they were just, like, legit scared because they were doing – if you're doing Cruyff turns in the box, bro.
In the box. Yo, not even fast ones. I'm talking about with time.
Y'all are doing little training exercises out here just working on my footwork.
The coach is like, you know what? Just because you're standing in front of the goal with no keeper there doesn't mean you have to score right away, baby. Now's the time to throw a little bit of sazón.
Exactly.
That,
you know, mix it up. It's a paella out there, okay? Stir it a little bit.
You're trying to get that Socrat at the bottom, you know? Do you have FOTMOB open right now?
I do.
All right. Well, don't look at it real quick.
Okay.
All right, I want you to tell me what you think out of the four keepers. Give me what you think the FOTMOB score or the grade
for the two matches.
For Switzerland.
Okay.
Just for this match. Back line of Switzerland. I'll give you the names. It's Riesen, Stierli, Maritz, and Eigbogen.
All right, I'm sure you nailed them all. You got those names perfectly.
People are like, is that guy Swiss, dude? He's on time, bro.
It has to be under three, so I'm gonna say 2.8.
No, now they're all above four.
Oh wait, am I just talking about? Grading the whole back line.
The whole back line, the four.
Oh, okay, okay. So if it's then, there's no way anybody's above five. So it has to be an average of, like, I don't know, 4.6 across.
Yeah, you're worse. The FOTMOB is a little bit more forgiving than you are. Okay. 4.8, 4.7, 5.4, 5.1, which better than what you think, but that's not good for a World Cup knockout match, especially when people thought Switzerland might be one of the better teams, might be able to surprise Spain, especially Lea Walti. Who's their more creative / defensive midfielder, also their captain, really helps sort of facilitate the attack after you expect the defenders to sort of get the ball back or do something. Bro, she's one of only two players in the sevens.
Yeah, but
that just goes to show, like, across the board, It feels like there were 22 players out there for Spain.
Yeah, I mean Switzerland was just completely outmatching, and you notice it. You saw it in the U.S. kind of plays like this from time to time, when not in the possession sort of style, but in the as soon as the team the opponent has the ball, as soon as any of the defenders have the ball, and they try to send that pass to break that line of that high press, there is always a fullback that is there to cut, to get in front of that pass, and they can't even get out of their own half. And this is just this is just an obvious, like, oh, they can't, they're not even mentally prepared for the quality that they're about to face. They get nervous.
There's no plan B. There's no what you saw.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we're going to be a transition team. Yeah. They're cutting off our transition. They're like, y'all want to go play backgammon after this? Like, there was no plan B.
So yeah, it's just unfortunate. I mean, there's no, it's good for Spain to bounce back, because they did look, stunned against Japan. But
also, Japan plays this way, so they learned a few lessons, and Switzerland took the brunt of that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We'll talk about the Japan game in a second, because I think that they both of these games kind of shed light on both of these countries, I think, are going to do in the rest of the tournament. Overall, I guess you expected a little bit more from Switzerland, or really just the any of the teams that, you know, make it, right? I mean, like, you would think, like, it's almost like unfortunate, like a team like Portugal didn't get through. Obviously, playing against the U.S., it would have been very, very difficult. They did get very close. But Portugal handled that high press from the U.S. incredibly well, where they were composed. They weren't nervous when any of the forwards came at them. The U.S. wasn't able to cut off those passes that easily, or as easily as it was against Switzerland. So it's just cool that they got to the knockout round, but just a very, very disappointing performance from them.
But it also goes to show the sort of difference in development in this sport, where it feels like you wouldn't find a team that plays like Barcelona, like Spain, so easily or so readily, or is able to sort of give you multiple options tactically and be able to switch it up like Spain has. It goes to show you that, like, Switzerland feels like they're, WOSO 1.0. You know what I mean? And now we're talking about WOSO 2.0. Like, yo, things have changed. This might even be 3.0. Things have changed. You have to be able to be tactically sound and be able to switch what you're doing up a little bit. You can't just sit back and low block and expect that that's going to work against everybody, especially if you haven't been developing those midfielders.
Well, we could say that to the U.S. as well, bro.
I'm speaking to everybody, baby.
We're a little bit. we've upgraded. Y'all still on the old OS, because we're not using that one anymore.
Right now, we're like, damn, yo, is that an iPhone 13?
I don't think I can airdrop to you anymore, bro. Like, you got to fix this.
Yo, what? Why does your charger wire look like a mini piano, dog?
It's interesting, because you would think that the knockout rounds would not have these kind of lopsided results, but it is what it is. That's why I think
the story of this World Cup.
That's why I think this where you finish in the group is not as, like, in the Women's World Cup is probably very different than the Men's World Cup, where you really truly do not want to face an England or the giant nations, the footballing nations. I think the gap in talent is not that necessarily stark in the knockout rounds. Obviously, you have the Switzerland, Spain, and you're gonna have those results from time to time. But I think in general, it's like, even the U.S. finishing, if you're a generally good nation, a good team that finishes second, it's like, all right, it doesn't really necessarily matter kind of where you end up, but we'll see what happens on Sunday. Okay.
I feel like Japan also might argue with you a little bit, because I think 3-1 was still a pretty dominant result for them.
I mean, look, the game was a little bit more even, but we'll talk about Japan in a bit, because I think this game said a lot about them and how exciting they are, and I think we're kind of tilting who might the favorites be in this tournament.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
As always, we always got to remind people to chill from time to time because obviously,
bro, Spain needs to chill.
Spain needs to chill.
We need to chill.
Switzerland, bro, this is gonna come up again when next time y'all meet Switzerland. You're like, yo, yeah, y'all really had to do me like that. This is crazy.
Damn, son, you lucky I'm chilling right now with this ice cold Crisp Coors Light. Yo, you know who else needs to chill? The goalkeeper for Atlas Tigres?
Tigres,
my guy, Tigres, bro,
Nahuel Guzman.
My guy was doing too much. He's trying to do two gigs at once. He said, yo, I got a soccer game, but I also got hired to do magic at my kid's birthday party.
We got to just address it because my man is doing penalties and does a magic trick during the penalties in League's Cup.
This is the second silly thing he did, and it worked. He saves this penalty.
My man stopped the pen.
Bro, and look, at the end of the day, if you don't know, if you're just listening, you know the thing the magicians do where they take, like, the ribbon out of their mouth and it just keeps coming and coming and coming. He did that while in goal. He pretended he had a cough or something. He held his hand up, did that, psyched the kicker out, saves the penalty, knowing where he's going to go. Absolutely incredible. He also did, like, the mime thing. He heard Emi Martinez can't do this stuff in Europe. He said, watch what I'm going to do, Emi. I got you. Both of them absolutely need to chill. And look, If you're the kicker, you're getting there, you're getting iced out. In fact, if you would have had a blue mountain on your forehead, it would have been ice cold, just like the can of Coors Light.
Very, very impressive because, it's also, if you don't stop that penalty and you do that, it also I don't know if you got a job the next day.
You're at Payaso, bro.
So incredible. Leagues Cup, it's been entertaining on the pitch. It's been entertaining off the pitch. We got the raccoon that fell out of the RSL media room.
Oh, my God. Look at this. Homie was like, why is this jail for butter? He goes right up to the popcorn. Man,
he just, get him out. He just wants his popcorn, bro.
Yeah, he's like, bro, I smelt it, and here it is, bro. I knew I had to go through that secret portal. Hey, drop ceiling.
What is this force field around the popcorn? What is this about?
I could see it. I could smell it, but I can't touch it and taste it, which is like the can surrounding the beer. But Coors Light gives you a little pop tap so you can get in all that goodness.
Exactly. Okay. Help that raccoon out. He needs to. So this summer, stay passionate and stay refreshed with the nice cold Coors Light, official beer of Leagues Cup 2023. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Please remember, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Let's go. All right. Now, Japan versus Norway. This was a good game, a little bit more even, entertaining,
a little bit more, but Japan was trying to be like, no, you good, let me show me how good you are. And then fuck-a-da, every time they got the ball, bro.
This is what's just so impressive about Japan throughout this tournament is just the unbelievable consistency. That's really what just impresses me all the time. They're just like, I think we just assume, like, you know, we watch some of the European nations play, and you see the physicality, you see the height, and you think, oh, that's it, they got this. You
that's know? An American sports mentality.
The tall girls are gonna take care of it.
Yeah.
And Japan is like, nah, okay, we don't. But yeah, we don't have the tallest players, but the technique is just so impressive, and the passing is just, and the runs are just so on point. I mean, the third goal was Miyazawa.
Miyazawa is such a gifted player.
Yeah, and
let me be honest. Norway gave them two of the three goals.
Right. I mean, they were trying to push up, and obviously they're trying to score. So you understand.
Yeah. Whose idea was it to pass back, but not to the keeper, to the open Japanese player. I mean, I don't know if it was Harvikin or maybe Ingrid Engen who did it. One of my favorite players. You know, she plays for Barca. Absolutely incredible. Big fan of Ingrid Engen. But, man, she did not have a good tournament. Norway seemed – the term skittish might be too much. They seemed intimidated. Did you sense the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, but they've had a bad tournament overall.
They have not had a great tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue they've kind of been underwhelming throughout the entire tournament, and maybe the mentality hasn't fully been there and been like kind of locked in and focused, or they did not just, you know, similar to the U.S., didn't meet the expectation of what everybody thought they were going to see, what the product they saw that they were going to see on the pitch. So. I didn't think it would be wildly different in this game, and especially going up against Japan, not going to be easy by any means.
Japan are undefeated. Japan have won every single match. They beat Zambia 5-0. They beat Costa Rica 2-0. They beat Spain 4-0. They haven't given up a goal until this Norway goal, and they beat, obviously, Norway 3-1. And to look at Norway's group stage, they backed into this. They lost to New Zealand 1-0. Obviously, a massive game for New Zealand. You guys remember as that goal went in. Switzerland-Norway was 0-0, so 0-0 draw. And then they beat the Philippines 6-0, which I don't want to say like whoop-de-doo or whatever because the Philippines had looked good prior. But, you know, more of a minnow nation when it comes to these competitions. It was their first time in the competition, playing with a lot of players that play or grew up outside of the Philippines. So trying to put them together, make them into a team. It's not like they have, you know, extensive camps and all of these things there. It was a real chance for them to sort of learn in this competition. So no disrespect to the Philippines. I was rooting for you guys, but you take a big 6-0 loss, but you see where that level is. You go up against Japan, which you kind of, you know, alluded to it a little bit. This is clearly, if this isn't your favorite, then you've got a tattoo of another nation's flag on you. That's the only way. Yeah. Or you like play for another team.
By far, they look like the best team at the World Cup. And just,
and they had possession in this game. Mm-hmm. They were doing it not from just the counterattacks. I mean, granted, two of the goals were gifted to them. But, you know, you got to be able to strike when the opportunity hits. And but this was absolutely, this but it was says just a lot incredible.
About, it says a lot about the team that they can play against a team that maintains possession and counterattack well, or they can play with the ball and still find ways to score. I think there's a little bit of a, you know, I see, you know, like I guess sometimes, you know, people are tuning in and they're watching us for the first time and they find our show to be very U.S. centric. Well, yes, it is, because that is the lens we are always looking through.
But I wonder what would give you that idea.
So, apologies if we're U.S. Women's National Team stands, but that is what it is. But the fact I you know, a lot of the former players that are doing shows, Kristen Press, Tobin Heath, Midge Purse, you know, Abby Dahl Kemper was on Kristen and Tobin's show, and. The thing I keep hearing across all the shows is every team that they play against, they always say that they bring their best game. So anytime anybody plays the U.S., they're like, yo, we got to bring our best, absolute best game. And because they've scouted, they know every player. They watch them week in, week out, maybe an NWSL. Maybe they're trying to get to NWSL, so they're very aware of the roster. And there's a little bit, to me, of a they don't know who they're playing against Japan. It's just like they don't know who does what well. The scouting,
right?
Seems
like who's gonna show up?
Yeah, it seems like the scouting is a little bit off because they just like, I mean, Japan are very, very good, and I think countries are just completely underestimating them. And not to take anything away from Japan at all, but this is the just the way that some teams look kind of lost playing against them. I think says a lot about the teams that they're playing against that are, you know, that just not just, like I said, just underestimating Japan. But they've, again, been spectacular. They look really, really good. So I think at this point, I'm, you know, I again, would love the U.S. to win. But I think if somehow, you know, Japan faces the United States, I don't see the U.S. getting past this team. I think it'd be really, really hard.
The one reason why I think we may still hold an advantage is have any chance of having an advantage against this team is, you know, there is still a different level, right? To be gifted two of the other, and again, they look dominant in this game. They deserve this win. I'm not trying to take anything. But if you're going to say anything, it's that they were gifted two of those goals, essentially. They still took those opportunities. And those are, to be honest with you, that's some of the luck you need to win a good competition, a big competition like this anyway. Yeah. You can't just be the best team. You still have to have something, you know, the ball fall to your feet every once in a while, and you have to be able to take advantage of those. So I don't want anyone to think that I'm in any way, shape, or form saying that this Japanese team doesn't deserve to be here. They absolutely do. Hinata Miyazawa, I should say, is absolutely an incredible player, 23 years old. I'm not sure what team she's at. She's at, like, a team I've never heard of.
I can look it up.
But she's very clearly going to be given an opportunity at a big league for sure.
I don't think she's signed right now.
Pop Mop doesn't have her, yeah. But she is. She's signed with, I forget the name. It's like the Lady Reds or something like that is the name of the team. Anyway, long story short, what I'm trying to say is very simple. You know, in order to raise your level to beat the U.S., and this is the benefit of having won the last two World Cups, every single thing has to go right for you. And we saw a lot go right for them against Norway. So there is still that expectation that playing against the U.S. is the next level, another level. It's still the champion. And, you know, things happen to be different. What was it, 2015? Mayavi Sendai. Okay. Mainavi Sendai from the WE League. So, look, she's probably going to get a big move after this, for sure. Yeah, I could see some of the European teams going after her. I could see NWSL teams going after her. And after this competition is done, we probably should have a conversation about how NWSL seems like they're kind of slipping behind in the world order.
Yeah, we'll take some time to do that because, you know, we saw the announcement of Mia Fischel going to Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah.
From Tigres. And look, Tigres also are in the show in many ways. But she left
another magic trick of getting rid of one of their best players.
But I think what's exciting now is the women's transfer market is kind of, you know, bubbling the way the men's transfer market normally is. It's you know, the gossip, the rumors, the media, the exciting moves,
the money's starting to get up there, bro. Like that, Arsenal tried to buy Alessio Russo for $500,000. That would have been a transfer record.
Yeah.
Manchester United said no. We got it for free, by the way. But I don't know if you know this. Part of the financial fair play rules in England are you can write off losses from COVID. So if you have losses from COVID, you can write that off. So that goes against money you've spent to help balance the books. The other thing you could write off is money spent on the women's game.
Interesting. Okay.
So if all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, we're $3 million over for our spending on the men's side and we're going to get docked financial fair play. Hey, same. I could drop $3 million on this women's team and now it's even.
Interesting.
Now, while some people may think like, oh, that they're spending it without one. Hey, the net benefit is the women's game is being invested in. Right. But now if you're NWSL, you're like, yo, MLS, bro. Like, how about this? You get more TAM for spending money on give me some. And Columbus would have loved it. You know what I mean?
Right.
They would have been able to keep Zalarayan.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could be, I mean, more than just MLS. I mean, it could just be like, this is what you lobby for in the government for a nice tax write-off when necessary.
NWSL needs to become a 501c3, a non-profit. You feel me?
Okay.
Your philanthropy money coming in.
Do whatever you got to do. No, but that's interesting because then, you know, yeah, maybe the not only just investment in the game, but maybe there's this investment in, like, you know, if $3 million over, we need to balance the books. All right, we're bringing in Mitch Purse from Gotham FC, $3 million transfer fee. Like, we got to do what we got to do.
Yo, our friend Yael would be like, hey, you know, this whole FFP thing worked out.
So that would be dope. All right. Yeah, man, that's like an interesting thing too. I think we should take some time to talk about some of the transfers. Probably right after the World Cup, I think we'll do that. So, but let's wrap up here. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Shout out to everybody watching on DraftKings Network. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for all the positive comments, positive reviews. Shout out to the haters who just hating on everything for whatever reason.
Whoa, keep giving us the engagement, bro. Thank you.
So it's getting pretty wild out there, but we appreciate the love. And as always, we're here every single day. We'll be back tomorrow. And obviously tomorrow, so tonight there will be a game, obviously.
That's right. South Netherlands Africa versus the Netherlands.
Netherlands, South Africa. But then tomorrow, we'll obviously talk about that game. But obviously the much bigger game is U.S. Sweden. So we'll be back hopefully
5 a.m.
Hopefully with some good news.
It's either going to be a posy episode or a naggy episode, bro.
So, yo, only the U.S. Women's National Team can decide what the episode is going to be like. But we're excited. Obviously, a big weekend in sport, in soccer. So tune in tomorrow for our reaction to that U.S.-Sweden game because I know it's going to be big. And, so a lot of fun stuff. Again, make sure you subscribe. We have huge guests coming through in the next few days, so everybody's going to enjoy that. Shout out to everybody who watched the Jordan Angeli episode. That was really, really great. A lot of people really love that. Yeah, so we got until August 20th. A lot of stuff happening left. But as always, we're very, very grateful for tuning in. So we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Peace. Go USA.
Love you guys.